All right. Yes, that's good. Amen. Like Brother Kevin said, it's not been as hot as normal. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? All right. I'm just going to read one quick scripture here that's going to go along with the message that we're looking at today. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for this evening. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. And Lord, we all truly have so much to be thankful for. And Father, we ask you to be with us this evening. Bless the service. Lord, I pray that you would come and meet with us now. And God, that above all, anything that's said and done tonight, that you would be honored and glorified. We thank you again for Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Brother Kevin, why don't you come?
If you would turn to hymn number 285. Oh, yeah, we'll do all three verses. I know, huh? Uh, 285. Everybody there? All right. Here we go. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. On two. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. On the last. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. That Dundali gets my breath. No? Okay. At this time, we have some announcements here. We have Sunday school starts at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evenings are 5 p.m., and Wednesday nights are 6 p.m. Food banks are Friday at 8 a.m. Today is 29th, so skip that. Okay. I'm like, October 6th. 6th is the question and answer night. October 22nd is Teens Under God's Guidance, and October 31st is Noisy Bucket, Western Sunday Chili Cook-Off, and Ice Cream Fellowship. Yes. What was? Hey, I... Oh. Scratch that. October 13th. Question and answers. I remember he said it, but I forgot it. October 31st will be Noisy Bucket, Western Sunday Chili Cook-Off, and Ice Cream Fellowship. November 3rd will be Question and Answers. November 12th, Teens Under God's Guidance. The 25th is Thanksgiving Day. 28th is Noisy Bucket. and ice cream fellowship again. That's all the announcements we have for now, but I'm sure things will start getting more and more. They usually do. At this time, if you would turn to hymn number 99 and stand up when you get there. After this, we'll wave hi at everybody and we'll take an offering. 99. Course of the month. Is it? Oh, yes. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Amen. Say hi, everybody. You may be seated if I get two ushers up here. If you'd bow your heads with me. Father God, thank you so much. Amen. It's Wednesday. Thank you so much for that, Father. Thank you for the messages that we had on Sunday to get us through this far. Now help us to open up our minds and our hearts and receive this message tonight, Father, that we can finish out our week strong and hopefully lead more souls to you, Father. As we collect the offering, we ask that it's used for your honor and glory. And we ask that you bless the giver. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually going to do one more song, so I'm going to let this flip open, and I don't know those songs, so we're not going to do that. Pastor had to go get some stuff. You know what, let's do hymn number 323, Standing on the Promises.
Oh, we're doing that. If anybody needs a
prayer, yeah. Verses 1, 2, and 4. Stand up when you get there, please. All right. Here we go. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God unto. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. On the last. standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all and all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
That was that last stand up right there.
Amen. Thank you, message. Brother Kevin. All right. I tell you what, I appreciate some of the work that the men do to help keep things ready and going. And Brother Kevin, we do appreciate what you do, brother, getting up here and leading. And you know what I appreciate, Brother Kevin? Always has a good spirit about everything that he does. Amen. And so we thank you for coming up and always being willing to take care of announcements and things of that nature. And that's a big help. Believe it or not, that's a big help. So thank you, brother. We certainly appreciate that. And then Brother Tuck, of course, is filling in and for Brother Dana. Normally takes care of all of our offerings and finance and all that good stuff. Brother Dana's normally in there. We thank you for those gentlemen, the work that they do a lot of times behind the scenes too. Amen. So, all right. Of course, we're going to take this time and, you know, we do want to hear if you do have a blessing that you want to share or a prayer request. We certainly want to hear that. I did want to go ahead and share a prayer request. And we don't know a whole lot of details. I did share with the men, but my wife told me right before the service, somebody that we know that's friends and family of the Berry family in Kentucky, found out that a young man, I think he's in his 30s, isn't he? Young man, not a very young man, that we thought he had had a sickness and passed away, but he was actually killed. He was actually murdered. And so we don't know all the details of that, but we're just really heartbroken for that family. And so pray for the church, New Water Baptist Church there in Kentucky, near Hodgenville, Kentucky. And so that's just such a sad, sad situation. And so, you know, again, obviously we don't know a lot of information about that. That's just what we heard. And so would you please pray for that family and that church there in Kentucky? And I'm sure that they would appreciate the prayer there. With that being said, does anybody have a prayer request or just something God's done for you this week? Miss Winnie? Yes, ma'am. Miss Winnie mentioned a passing in the Garcia family. Please keep the Garcia family in prayer. Roger? Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. The praise was for the assurance of salvation and then a pray for the surgery and doctor appointment coming up. Brother Tuck. Okay. That's a praise. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I didn't know that, and I just happened to message her and let her know we were missing her, and then she said that she had just found out not long after that, so that worked out really well. Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm glad you did, brother. Amen. Thank you, brother. Dennis? Thank you, brother. Amen. Yes, sir. We'll be heading out, as you recall, I mentioned Sunday, heading out Saturday morning down towards Lancaster, California. We'll be attending the Spiritual Leadership Conference there and then also seeing, you know, just some of the sites, maybe some parks and things of that nature in the area. Connor? And what was the last one? Oh, yeah. Remember Bill Houck for Salvation. He mentioned Trenton and then, of course, the traveling. Yes, Miss Liz. Oh, the one that was supposed to be in San Francisco? Okay. I can understand. Miss Liz mentioned for her friend Daniel Church, just a really delicate situation, was waiting on being able to do a special surgery, but sounds like they're going to put that off for now and try some treatment. So either way, she's battling cancer. So please remember Danielle Church is her name. Yes, Brother Gary. Uh-huh. Sure. What's her name, Gary? What's her name?
Lee.
Lee, okay. Please remember Lee. That's a lady that Brother Gary does some work for, landscaping, and suffered and had an injury. Miss Gemma? Oh. Lomali? I'm very sorry. Miss Gemma mentioned a high school friend passed away, just found out this week. So please remember the Lomali family in prayer. Roger? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that, brother. Amen. Certainly keep that in prayer. Chuck? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And please pray for Chuck and the work about to be done on his house for sure. And I know he's battled with his knees and other things, so please remember Chuck. And you're back? Yes, sir. You've been battling that for a long time, Chuck. That's not a recent development. Chuck knows we love him. Miss Nancy? Yes. Miss Nancy mentioned their family will be traveling as well coming up, so please pray for their safety. Miss Carol? Yeah, she did. I talked to her before church, and she mentioned that she wasn't going to be able to come. She's still kind of hurting. She fell the other day, and so she's still trying to recover from that. But thank you, Miss Carol, for remembering Miss Sarah. We certainly want to continue to pray for her that she had fallen on Sunday. Anybody else before we pray? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord and pray. Oh, Obed. Yep, mentioned Kim and then Mike and Unspoken. Okay, Tuck. They're friends and family of the Berries, I think. Do you know his direct? Yeah. Pray for the Berry family. The young man's name was John. He was a member at New Manna Baptist Church. I do know that. Or, I'm sorry, New Water Baptist Church in near Hodgenville, Kentucky. But just remember the Berry and their friends and their family. It's that they're all connected there. Miss Winnie? Oh. Oh, boy. Amen. Yes. Keep praying for Brother Eccles. Amen. I Amen, brother. I know the Lord's going to use him in a great way. And you all come. I promise you'll be blessed. Amen. And you'll get some help. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so thankful again for this evening, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, we're thankful for this time of, Lord, sharing praise and sharing prayer requests with one another. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us to be faithful, Lord, to continue to lift these up in prayer. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to meet each and every need that's here. Lord, we have some special requests mentioned this evening on our heart. And God, we think about especially the Barry family, John and John's family. Lord, we think about the New Water Baptist Church there near Hodgenville, Kentucky. And Father, we just want to lift up those families, those friends, Lord, the church. And God, if they've suffered this tragic loss, and Lord, not just with the loss, but Lord, even the circumstances surrounding the loss. And Father, we just pray that you lift up that family. We are thankful to know that, he was saved, and Lord, of his testimony, God. But I still pray for the family, those that are grieving, those that are hurting, and God, just with that tragic situation. God, as Miss Winnie mentioned, Lord, for the Garcia family, who's also suffered a loss. And Lord, we want to lift up that family and pray that you'd comfort them and help them in a special way. Lord, you know the needs there for that family. And Lord, sometimes there's other needs other than just the grieving. Lord, maybe there's a financial need and no doubt probably a spiritual need. And I just pray that you would intervene there as well. Lord, for Roger's surgery coming up. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in his life this week. But we just pray for the surgery that'll be coming up when that's scheduled, that you would let that be a successful surgery, let it be a help. And Lord, also for the cardio appointment. Lord, that's coming up soon. I just pray that you would work in this situation. Lord, we're thankful for the praise report that Brother Tuck shared concerning Miss Cynthia. And Lord, we are sure glad to be seeing her soon again. And I just pray that you just continue to bless her in the job that you've opened up for her. Lord, as Brother Dennis was so kind to remember, our family will be traveling this week. And we just pray for safety and protection upon our family. Lord, that you be with the vehicle to be mechanically sound. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom, guidance. Lord, you give us, Lord, even some help that we need. Lord, they're at the Spiritual Leadership Conference. And Lord, pray, be with all of those who will also be traveling in to and fro to the conference as well. Lord, as Connor mentioned, Lord, for Bill Houck, Lord, and Trenton for Salvation, and also mentioned the Traveling Mercies as well. Lord, we think about Miss Liz's friend, Danielle Church, and God, Lord, seemed like she got a call with a little bit of a setback this week. But Lord, you know the situation. And we just ask you to just work in that situation and just meet the need, Lord, of the treatments that they're going to plan for her, Lord, that they would be a help for her. And Lord, just continue to work in her life and in her heart. God, we think, as Gary mentioned, for this lady, Lord, that he works for her, Miss Lee. Lord, I just pray that you be with her with the injury that she suffered. I pray that you help her to recover from that. Lord, as Miss Gemma mentioned, for the O'Malley family, Lord, with the loss that was suffered there. And God, we do want to lift up that family in prayer, Lord, and no doubt they're grieving and hurting. I pray that you'd help them, encourage them, meet any needs that are there as well. Lord, we pray that you'd be with the job situation, Lord, opportunity, potentially, Lord, that Roger mentioned through Brother Courtney. And we just pray that you would meet a need that's there, and Lord, that you would work that out according to your will. Lord, as Chuck has his house being worked on, I pray that you be with him, be with the needs that are there, touch his body, Lord, physically as well. Miss Nancy mentioned, Lord, they're traveling, and I just pray for their safety and protection as well, Lord, that you would go with them, Lord, be with their vehicles, and Lord, just give them traveling mercies. God, we think about Miss Sarah still this evening, Lord, still recovering from the injury that she suffered, and Lord, we do want to lift her up in prayer, pray that you'd help her to recover. Lord, as Obed mentioned from Miss Kim and Mike, God, you know the needs that are there, especially with the chemo treatment still in place, just pray that you be with him, Lord, be with our students. And God, the unspoken requests, the two that were mentioned there as well. And God, that you would be with Brother Echols, as was mentioned, Lord, as he recovers from his fall. Pray that you keep him strong. Use him in a great way this week. Lord, there's several other needs on here. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that we have seen you answer. Lord, we give you praise and glory for that. And again, we ask you, Lord, to be with us, Lord, in this next few moments, Lord, as we focus on the scriptures and the message at hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me get mic'd up here. And ask if you would go ahead and turn to the book of Romans chapter 4. Excuse me, Romans chapter 4. All right. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to just read for now the first three verses here in Romans, and we'll reference a couple of other places in the scripture here in just a moment. If you found your place, I ask if you're able to stand in reading of God's word in Romans chapter 4. And starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done this evening. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the time of prayer. And Father, now we ask for your blessing upon the message at hand, Lord, that you've laid upon our heart, Lord, throughout this series that we've studied. Lord, as we bring it to a close, I pray that you'd give us a few thoughts this evening that will challenge our hearts, Lord, that will strengthen our walk with you. Lord, I pray for that one who's never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're coming to a close in regard to our study regarding the journey centered around the life of Abraham. And as we start to, you know, really bring our thoughts together, or final concluding thoughts regarding that, we're going to get into some of the things regarding the legacy of Abraham. Now, remember, as we last talked about in regard to the life of Abraham, we talked about his place and the faith that he had and the investments that he made concerning the cave that he purchased there. And if you get into, you'll see in Genesis there, right in chapter 24, you'll see, and for the sake of time, we're not going to read all that, but I just want to make reference to it. You'll see that he is focusing on, or there's two things that are mentioned in chapters 24 and then even in chapter 25 regarding the legacy of Abraham. What you find, first of all, is you'll see that he is making an effort to find a wife for his son Isaac, and securing a future for his son. And, of course, we already know the story regarding what Isaac meant and everything surrounding that, the obedience that was shown, the picture of faith that we've seen there. But I believe in his final chapters of life, if you will, Abraham was focused on the legacy for his son, the legacy for his family. Now, as we read earlier, the scripture that we read earlier, I want to recall to that again. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. To his children's children. And as we talk about Abraham leaving a legacy, I believe that he did that for his family. And the Bible says here that that's what a good man does, is that he leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, automatically, we always assume that it's just, I think, that when we think inheritance, a financial inheritance, and though I would say that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think even more important than that, church, is a spiritual inheritance that we leave to not just our children, but also our children's children. So as we see that that's what Abraham was doing in the final moments of his life, and then we see that he gave up the ghost and he was actually buried where he had made an investment in the same place where Sarah was. So those last two chapters, if you will, really speak a lot to the legacy of Abraham. And that's what we're looking at tonight, friend, and just to really help us gear our minds to that, I think that it is important that we consider not just what we're doing today, but also the decisions and how we live our lives today, church. Understand that it not just affects us, it also affects our children, but it also affects our grandchildren and so on and so on. So it's something that we should take into much, much consideration on what kind of legacy that we leave behind. Now, as we were really thinking about this, I want to tell you about one of the saddest funerals that I ever preached. I described several weeks ago about one of the most difficult moments in ministry was being there with a mother when she's seen her child that had passed away for the first time. That was a difficult moment, church. That was not a pleasant moment. It's a moment that I'll never, ever forget as long as I'm alive. But then there was another funeral that I did that was probably one of the saddest funerals that I preached. Say, preacher, what was so sad about it? Here's what was sad about it. First of all, I don't believe that the person was saved. That makes it more sad above anything else. Church, let me say something. I'm not for just standing in a pulpit and telling people that their family member went to heaven if they had not received Christ as their personal Savior, right? Now, I hope for their sake, and I pray for their peace that they did. But friend, I can't always say that. I don't know that. That's one of the things that's sad. And let me say something else on that. If you've been saved by the grace of God, don't be ashamed of it, friend. Make sure that you let everybody know, let your family know, let your loved ones know, let your neighbors know. And in fact, that's a great way to be a witness to those who are not. It's just go ahead and tell them, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me and that I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. But what made that funeral really sad, church, was first of all the fact that I don't believe the man had trusted Christ as his personal Savior. That was already sad enough as it is. But you know, generally when we prepare for funeral, we try to meet with the family and gather with the family and say, can you tell me something about your family? So, you know, this is a time where people often talk about our legacy during a eulogy or during a funeral service. They talk about our legacy. They talk about maybe the kind of work they did or the impact that they did. Or sometimes stories are shared by loved ones, by friends, by family, maybe coworkers, funny stories or maybe special moments in life. And we remember those. We talk about those memories. We talk about the legacy. But what made it even more sad, church, was not only was the man probably not saved, but second of all, when I went to the family to ask about what they could share about their family, they didn't have nothing to share. They didn't have nothing to say about their loved one. Unfortunately, it was a situation where he had sort of separated himself from the family. I don't know all the circumstances. Hadn't really been in contact with a lot of the family. And the only thing that they told me about him was that he was a truck driver. That he drove a truck for a living. Friend, that's a sad situation because I couldn't talk about the legacy. I couldn't even talk about maybe some good memories that he had. I mean, it wasn't already good, but I couldn't even share positive memories. I couldn't talk about any kind of stories about this man. I literally said he was a truck driver by trade. And then we just transitioned to preaching the gospel because there was nothing else to be said about the man. And even though the service was supposed to be in his memorial or dedication to him. Friend, that brings us to question. One day, you understand, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, to judgment. And when that time comes, and you've gone home to be with the Lord, I hope so, amen. That means that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, amen. I hope that that's where you're going to go. But when it comes to preparing the eulogy, when it comes to preaching your funeral, what is it that will be said regarding your legacy that you left behind? What kind of things will be said about you? Friend, can I encourage you, don't make the person giving the eulogy stretch the stories a little bit. Don't make them have to say things better that really were not true. The things that they say, let them be true, amen? Because oftentimes they try to be gracious, amen, and try to make them sound like a lot better than they really were. All I'm saying, friend, leave a legacy behind, leave a godly heritage behind, that there would be no question what kind of person that you were. I wish that people would say, boy, he may not have been a lot of things, but he sure loved Jesus, amen. He sure loved to see souls saved. He sure loved to go to church. He sure loved his family. There's certain things that I would certainly want to be said. But friend, what kind of legacy will you leave behind when the Lord chooses to take you home? We're talking about Abraham here, and I believe that he had a good legacy. Now, one of the things that I want to tell you, church, just as we're getting into this here, and then I got just really some simple thoughts that I want to give you regarding the legacy of Abraham. You know, oftentimes that we do start off good. We start off right. We start off well, but then many times we don't finish well, right? We don't finish well. And you know what I've come to find out? I don't know about you. Maybe you can testify in a different way. But, you know, to me, getting right with the Lord is not the most complicated part. That's not the hard part. Say, what do you mean? Well, you know, you look at the story of the prodigal son, for example. The Bible says that when he came to himself, he decided that he's going to go to his father and tell his father, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And so we know, as the story goes, he made the decision to go to his father and confess his sin and ask for forgiveness. And he went to his father. And what happened in that story, if you remember, hey, the father said, no, you're not a servant, you're a son. And that relationship with the father was restored the moment that he chose to come home and repent to his father. Friend, do you realize that no matter how far away you've strayed from God, the moment that you realize that there's no other hope, that you must go to God, that you must ask for repentance of your sin, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you see, friend, it's not a complicated process to get right with God. You yourself must get to the place where you realize, listen, I'm the one that's not right. I'm the one with the problem. I need to humble myself before Almighty God and make this right and ask God to forgive me for the sins in my life. Friend, God will forgive it. God will do what he says in his word that he will do. So friend, that's not the complicated part. We're the ones who make it complicated, right? We're the ones who delay in asking for forgiveness. We're the ones who delay in that relationship with God. So my concern is, when we're talking about leaving a legacy, oftentimes we start off well, but we don't end well. The problem is not making right with God. My concern is staying right with God. Now, friend, that's where I have a battle. That's where I have a challenge. Amen. It's not that I can't go to God. I know how to go to God and make things right. I know that I need to humble myself. I realize that I need forgiveness. I realize I may need to make things right with somebody. But friend, I battle with staying right. And I think it's something that we all battle with from time to time. But friend, if you're going to have a real concern of leaving a legacy for your children and your children's children that is honorable, that is godly, you shouldn't just get right with God. All the time I hear people get right with God, and that's well. But friend, how long are you going to stay right with God? It's fine to come to the house of God. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, then I want to rejoice with you. Praise God for what he's done in your life. But friend, I'm concerned about you staying right with the Lord. I'm concerned about you staying faithful to God. I'm concerned about you staying faithful to church, being obedient to the Lord. Friend, it's easy to come and testify on a single occasion, a single event. But friend, we're concerned about leaving a legacy tonight, so you have to not just get right with God, you've got to stay right with God. Now, if you look around today, I'll be honest, church, it's not easy to stay right in a world that has gone backward and wayward. It's not. I mean, how many of you watch the news all the time? Look and see what, can I give you a little bit of help right here, folks? Watch less of the news and read more of the Word of God. Amen. That'll help you. I get to watching the news and I get depressed. Amen. I think, man, there's nothing good going around. You know, I've been watching this story regarding this young lady, Gabby Petito. I'm sure that you've seen it. There's a national manhunt for this fella, for this scoundrel. We all know he did it. We all know what's going on. But friend, that's sad that people have such a heartless place in life that they would go and do such a thing and then just go home and pretend like nothing's wrong. What a testimony. I mean, isn't that sad? Hey, friend, that doesn't encourage me. That doesn't give me hope with the things that I'm seeing going on in the world. And boy, you're looking at this argument up on Capitol Hill. What is it, $3.5 trillion adding to the... Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? Right? We don't even know how we're going to pay for all this kind of... Friend, those kind of things are not encouraging. Look at what's going on in our border today. Amen? I mean, they just let anybody just come on in. It doesn't matter what's going on. And, you know, no type of security, no kind of checking process. But yet, you know, there's places in the country now that you got to have some kind of card before you can sit out and eat. But that you can walk right into our country and not need a single thing. Something wrong, folks. Something wrong. What I'm saying is that's not going to encourage you. I'm not telling you not to be unwise and know what's going on. All I'm saying, friend, is if you want to stay right with God, if you want to be where God wants you to be, if you want to leave the legacy, read more of God's book, Get your face in the Word of God. Apply the principles, the doctrine of the Bible. And friend, that's going to help you to stay right. Do you remember the story of Peter? When Peter started to deny the Lord. And if you look at that story, the Bible specifically says that he drifted afar off. Right? Now, if you rewind just a little bit, don't you remember that was the same Peter that said, "Lord, I will never deny you." Now, the convenient thing about that is that he was sitting at the table communing with Christ when he said, "I'm not going to deny you, Lord." So you see, friend, you do have more courage when you're near Christ. Oh, friend, but listen, when you start to drift afar off, and you don't stay close to Christ, that's when we start to not be right with the Lord. So you see, friend, the trouble that Peter had is that he started drifting away from Christ. Saying, "Pastor, what will help me to stay right? Not only pay more attention to the Word of God, get in the Word, but stay close to Christ. Stay close to Christ. Friend, that'll help you to stay right." Peter had more courage when he was near Christ, but the moment he started drifting away, that's when he denied him, friend. He went on and did exactly what he said that he was not going to do. So you see, friend, we're concerned about having a legacy, but if you're going to have a legacy, you're going to have to stay. Now, we've been studying the life of Abraham. Does that mean, church, that everything that he did in his life was right? Does that mean everything that he did was perfect? No, I don't believe that he was a perfect man. I do believe that he was a godly man. I do believe that he was a man of great faith and great obedience. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Amen. It's just like us. Not a one of us here tonight are perfect. Amen. So what we're talking about, this legacy, looking into, let me just give you a few quick thoughts regarding the legacy of Abraham. What we find here in Romans chapter 4, we see the gospel root. We see the gospel root. Did you notice that it said in verse number 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Friend, do you realize what it takes to be saved when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast." So you see, friend, it is an act of faith. You got to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when you look there, I'll just turn a few pages over. When we talk about in Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you see, friend, there is a matter of faith when it comes to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we see in the legacy that is mentioned here in Romans chapter 4 is that is a gospel root, in that Abraham had to believe God. Had to believe God, just in the same way as that we have to believe God concerning our salvation. Amen? If we will accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. So see, first of all, that there's a gospel root. We certainly see the picture of that in Abraham's life. The next thing I want to point out to you is not just the gospel root, but then there's the gospel fruit. Amen? Go to James chapter 2, if you would, for just a moment. James chapter 2, and we'll look at verses starting in verse 20. James chapter 2. Starting in verse 20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect?" Verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So we talked about the picture or the gospel root in believing and having faith. But here Let's talk for just a moment about the gospel fruit. Now, what we see here, it starts off this text that said, faith without works is dead. Now, let me explain something and make something very clear, friend, is that you don't work to be saved, but you work because you are saved. That's the fruit. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. The Bible talked about in John chapter 15 that Christ showed the desire that he was the vine and we are the branches. And the example there was that we bear fruit, and then we bear more fruit, and then we bear much fruit, right? Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. Now, let me also say this real quick, church, before I expound on that anymore. Don't expect lost people to act like saved people, okay? Don't expect baby Christians to act like mature Christians, right? The Bible literally talks about them being babes in Christ. They are what we call the milk of the Word, right? Do you understand that part of the reason when we have a class for those recently saved is because we want to help train them and equip them and teach them? You know, there's a lot of things that we talk about that we take for granted that we don't know. Or I'm sorry, that somebody may not know that is new to church, that is newly been saved. So let me say, first of all, to us older Christians, because sometimes we see somebody get saved and we say, oh, where's the fruit? Friend, the seed was just planted and God just did an increase there. Let's give it some time. That's part of our duty and responsibility to help them to learn how to bear fruit. Amen? So we know that the Bible does say that. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that you grow in Christ, as you draw closer to Christ, you're going to, part of what leaving a legacy is that we are bearing fruit. We're showing fruit. Now, the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. There's different types of fruit that we see. Just to give you a couple examples, friend. Hey, friend, you know, one of the things that I know about Christians who have some of the fruit, you know, their attitude starts to change. Amen. They start to have a different attitude, in particular towards the things of God and the people of God and God's house. You know what I've come to find out? That when people get saved, that they get excited about coming to church. Amen. They get excited about being in the house of God. And boy, sometimes they're just some of the most encouraging people because they seem to have more zeal and enthusiasm when it comes to being in church, often even the ones that's been in church for 20 years or 30 years. Now, what's wrong with us, friend, who've been in church for 20 years and 30 years longer? We have seen the goodness of God. We have seen God do very great and miraculous things. But unfortunately, sometimes along the way, we lose our zeal. But I'm just saying that that's some of the little bit of fruit that I start to see when people come to know Christ. They start to have a zeal and an excitement about the things of God. They start to get a hunger. Hey, friend, you know one of the signs of a good Christian? You have a hunger for the Word of God. In fact, there's times where, you know, it's kind of funny and interesting where you get on a spiritual growth spurt. Seems like you just can't get enough of the Word of God. I've got teenage boys and they go on growth spurts. And guess what? Sometimes it seems like I can't feed them enough. You know why? They're growing. Glory to God. Amen. It's like they go through that growth spurt and boy, they're hungry. I just, man, y'all pray for my grocery bill. Glory to God. Amen. But what I'm saying is they get into a physical growth spurt. You all know that. You've seen your children, raise them up, and they get hungry. Friend, you know that's the same thing that happens to Christians or should happen. We ought to get ourselves in a little growth spurt and get a hunger for the Word of God. You know something else that we do that ought to be seen in our life is that we tell other people about Christ. That's a fruit that a lot of times is missing in people's lives, right? We don't tell other people about Christ. We don't share our testimony. We don't share a tract. Say, hey, can I tell you what the Lord's been doing in my life? Say, preacher, I don't understand. You don't have to. Just say, hey, God saved my soul. And boy, I think everything's are picking up in my life. Things are changing in my life. I'd like to invite you to come to church. Oh, and if you get a second, turn around and read the back, and it'll tell you how you can know for sure that you have received Jesus Christ and you're going to heaven when you die. That's not hard. Anybody can do that. Amen? I mean, even shy folks can do that, right? Hey, can I give you something to read? I mean, at bare minimum, somebody can do that. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if that's all you got for right now, we'll take that, glory to God. You realize what you've done? You just put a gospel tract in somebody's hand. That's a seed that's planted. Say, well, Pastor, I don't give mine because most people throw them away. And you know what? That may be true. But you never know who's not going to throw it away. You never know what moment you're going to catch somebody in a really difficult time. And boy, you being up, bearing some fruit, sharing the gospel with them in that moment might have been exactly what they were looking for. They don't even realize that that's what they're looking for. They're having a tragic event in their life, and boy, all of a sudden you give them something that seems to give them a glimmer of hope. Then they start to read on the back, God loves me. Wow. Seems like everybody in my life has left me and hurt me. But the very first thing that I'm seeing here is that God loves me. Boy, do you tell me that doesn't bring hope in somebody's life? You see, friend, that's part of what bearing fruit is. We don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. And there's other things on that, friend. I could spend the rest of the evening and still not exhausted, but those are just a few examples about bearing fruit. So as we look here in the legacy of Abraham, we touched on the gospel root. We mentioned the gospel fruit. And then let's talk about just a moment the gospel identity. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and 6. Galatians chapter 3 and 6. We're giving you guys your sword exercises this evening. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, starting in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith are the same are the children of Abraham. So there's an identification here. You know, that's part of what a legacy does. Let me say something before I read on, friend. You know, I'm not going to ever tell you that my children are perfect because they're not. But I do expect them to behave and treat you with a certain manner of respect. Right? In particular, those in authority over them. Now, we ought to treat everybody with respect. We ought to treat everybody properly. And that's part of what child rearing is about. Right? Part of that is that, hey, listen, you know, my children bear my name. There's an identification that they have with their dad, right? All of my children carry the same last name as me. So when you see that last name, which is uncommon, it's not a last name that you see often. So if you see a last name like that, you know that there's a chance that they're related to me, right? So there's an identification with me. They are children of the pastor of Florence Baptist Church. So because of that, first of all, because of their identification with Christ, they ought to treat people with love and grace and compassion. Amen? But second of all, as their father, I'm trying to teach them how to treat people right, how to act right, how to talk right. Do they do it all the time? No, I wish I could say that they did. But they don't. But nevertheless, there's the expectation of that. That's part of why we're training and equipping here and raising him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And for the record, you and I don't treat everybody as we should right all the time either. Amen. But real, what we're seeing here is an identification. Reading on here, verse number 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So there's a gospel identification. So if you're blessed today in the faith, you're also blessed because of Abraham too. There is a blessing that has been passed down through all generations because of the faith of Abraham, because of our identification in Christ. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about clouds of witnesses, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I believe these are one of the clouds of witnesses that we can identify with, right? We should have the same faith as Abraham. We should identify with the faith that Abraham had. When you say, who was Abraham's God? Well, he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as God proclaimed himself to be. Hey, that's the same God that we have. Amen. That's the same God that we serve today. The God that Abraham worshipped, the God that Abraham obeyed, he's not different today, friend. Again, we mentioned the immutability of God. He's immutable. He does not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's an identity there as part of the legacy. And that's part of what legacies do. That's part of when they leave an identification. So we've mentioned the gospel root. We've mentioned the gospel fruit, the gospel identity. And then I want to mention the gospel life. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. We read part of this, I believe, last week. I want to read a little bit more this evening. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. For he went out not knowing whether he went. Now, as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it is often known as, well, let me say it this way. You've heard of the Hall of Fame. Who's heard of the Hall of Fame? This is what we call the Hall of Faith. Okay? The Hall of Faith. And so there's two particular events or moments in Abraham's life that was captured here in the book of Hebrews that we're going to mention here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which you should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. God said, go. Where am I going? I don't know. You just go. Okay, Lord, I'll go. Right? That's hard for us, isn't it? Just from a human standpoint, God says, get up, pack your family up, and go. Okay, Lord, that sounds good. Where am I going? Just go, and I'll tell you where you're going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promise. Okay? Let's go ahead and go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in figure. Listen, friends, we already established that the gospel root is that you have to have faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe in your heart, the Bible says. That is not the only time you need to exemplify faith in your life. That is just the starting point, friend. What we see here is we see two particular examples, different occasions, where Abraham had to have great faith. Now, these are not the only moments in his life that he had faith. These are two particular moments that really pictured the life that we live as Christians, in that we need to continue to increase and grow our faith. Now, it just happens to be, and probably God in his infinite wisdom, I'm sure that he did it on purpose. The first example of the faith that is mentioned here in Hebrews 11 was the fact when he called him into service. Abraham, I want you to pack up your family and go. Where am I going? I don't know where I'm. You don't know yet. You don't need to know. You just go. Abraham obeyed God. He sojourned. He packed up his family and went. That was a big step of faith. Friend, there'll be times that God calls you into work and calls you into a service, that God puts a calling on your life, that God puts a burden on your life that he wants you to do, and say, okay, Lord, I'm happy to do that. Let me know how it's all going to be worked out. Give me the details. It doesn't always work that way, friend. You know, sometimes you'll be in your place of employment and your supervisor or your employer will say, I want you to do this job. And sometimes they give you details on how they want you to do the job, and sometimes they don't. Right? So, you know, when they don't tell me, then I actually prefer that, because they can't say, well, I told you to do it this way. No, you did not. Yeah, I just did it, right? But the reality is sometimes you just don't, but you get the job done. Friend, we're not always going to know. So some of you say, well, Lord's called me over here. Okay, Lord, where's all the funding going to come in? How much am I going to have? How much? Friend, you don't know that. Lord just said, go, our job's to prepare. Amen. When God called Abraham, his job was to prepare his family. His job was to go ahead and take that step of faith and let God be the guidance and let God be the direction in his life. So that was the first step of faith, and I mentioned that it was probably in God's infinite wisdom that he did it this way. Now, he had an even greater test later on. Now, just by looking at it, was it a greater step of faith or test of faith to say, get up and go, even though you don't know where you're going, or to sacrifice your son? The step of faith to being willing to offer Isaac, obviously, is a greater step of faith. See, there was a progression of faith. There was a growth of faith. First, God gave him a smaller step of faith. I'm not saying it's small, but it was smaller than the one we've seen towards the end of his life. Now, if he had automatically already had a son right in the beginning, and God said, all right, Abraham, I'm going to call you into service, but the first thing I want you to do is offer your son. May not have worked out that way. You know why? Because his faith was not as strong as it was in the beginning of his life, in the beginning of his call to service, as it was towards the end. So, friend, of course, the gospel root is that we trust God by grace through faith. We receive him. But then that faith continues into our life. And then at some point, God will have a will specifically for you. He'll have a plan for you. Say, preacher, how do you know God has a plan for me? Because you're here. God has a plan and a purpose for every single one that's here. Sometimes we get defeated. Sometimes we get discouraged and think, I'm useless. I can't do it. Friend, God has a plan and purpose for you no matter what you think that you're physically capable of doing or not. Because oftentimes we put limitations where we have, because of a physical condition. Friend, those are human. There's no telling how God could use you if we respond in faith and say, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, do with me what you would want. So we see the progression of faith. That's really part of the gospel life or the Christian life, is that not only do you have faith to receive Christ, but your faith is going to continue to be tested. Your faith is going to continue to grow. And Abraham's greatest test of faith came towards the end of his life, or at least when he was older. So you see, friend, Abraham left a legacy, a spiritual legacy. Do you realize that Abraham is one of the most talked about or referred to characters of the Old Testament in the New Testament? I mean, we've just read four different passages of Scripture here. There's more. Where, because of him. So tell me that he didn't leave a legacy, friend. That legacy is still affecting us today. We still are able to learn from the example, from the life that he lived, because of the legacy that he left behind. So you see, friend, all of us this evening should be concerned about leaving a legacy. And what we have found, especially here in the New Testament, is that he left a spiritual legacy. It wasn't just a financial. I do believe, by the way, that he left a good financial inheritance. And I think that's good and that's honorable for his sons and the next generation after that. But friend, I believe that God is more concerned that we leave a spiritual heritage for the next generation and the ones after that. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, we must get to the place in our life where we consider the way that we live doesn't just affect us today, but it affects our future. The decisions that we make affect our families, affect our children, and affect our grandchildren and so forth. Friend, what will be said? What kind of legacy will you leave behind when it's time for the Lord to take you home? I hope it's a good legacy. I hope that somebody can boldly stand and say that you were a child of God, that you served God, that you honored God, that you were faithful to the Lord, that you were faithful in sharing the gospel. Friend, I hope those are all attributes that can be said. We ought to desire to have a godly heritage. Friend, we must continue to preach and teach the next generation about the things of God. We mentioned a few weeks ago that there rose up another generation which knew not the Lord. Friend, that's heartbreaking. I don't want to see a generation. I don't want to see my children grow up, or even, God willing, my grandchildren grow up and not know about God, not know about His goodness, not know about His grace, not know about salvation. Friend, that's not what I desire. I want that to continue. I want to see all my children remain in church, even when they're accountable to themselves between them and the Lord. What's your legacy, friend? Friend, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, friend, the very first thing that you must consider is that you must receive Christ as your personal Savior. I got to tell you tonight, friend, that every single one of us here tonight are sinners. The Bible is very clear that says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that sin, there's a consequence. The Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, there's a consequence or a penalty for our sin. Lord, the good news is that God loves us in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then as we read there in Romans chapter 10, there's a confession or repentance and believing in thy heart. If you're here tonight and never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not here tonight, not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, we do want to invite you to come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Somebody will meet you at the altar, friend. We'll get you help. We can't save you, by the way, but we will show you the one who can. If that's you tonight, friend, won't you come? Won't you come? Last question I want to ask. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to leave a godly legacy behind. Would you pray for me? I desire that. Thank you. I see that hand. 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 You may put it down. Pastor, I desire to leave a godly legacy. Would you pray? Thank you. I see that hand. I want to leave a godly legacy. I want to leave a good testimony. I want to stay right. Anybody else? Well, I pray. Let's pray, church. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the example, the scriptures that we've seen here, Lord, regarding a godly legacy by your servant Abraham. And Father, many lifted their hands tonight, Lord, testifying themselves that they want to leave a godly legacy, a godly heritage behind. Father, they desired prayer in that manner. Lord, it's our desire to lift them up. God, you know the desires of their heart. I pray that you would help them to accomplish that. Help them make an impact in their lives of the people that they're surrounded with, and their families, and their friends, and their co-workers, and their student or classmates. Lord, whoever they come in contact with, Lord, with the clerk at the grocery store, the cashier at the restaurant, Father, let them make an impact. Let them leave a legacy everywhere they go. Lord, you know who they are. You know the ones who lifted their hands. I pray that you bless them for that. Lord, I pray that you be with us this evening as we go home, go our separate ways. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us at Calvary. Thank you for each and everyone that was able to be here tonight, and even maybe those tuning in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Be seated for just a moment. Brother Tuck, could you come out and help us for just a second, please? I did get to take some time.